7, beginning in verse 15, Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Now, last week we looked closely at verse 15, where Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets." I'll just remind you that that word "beware" it implies that there's something dangerous there, that there's something that's harmful. And that's the thing about false teaching, and that's the thing about false prophets, is they're not just wrong, but they're dangerously wrong. They're harmful to the people who are under their teaching. And so Jesus refers to them as ravening wolves, a wolf, wolf in sheep clothing. And wolves, as I told you last week, are the most common predator known to sheep in the Middle Eastern countries. And so if a wolf were to be seen by a shepherd at any time, even in close proximity to his flock, he is going to take immediate action to either do away with the wolf itself or to remove his sheep from the even close proximity to that dangerous wolf. So swift measures would be taken. And I say that to say this: we need to beware. And anytime we detect that there's a false prophet or a false teacher, we should take action and remove ourselves from that teaching. And so now, after warning his disciples and us today about the false prophets, Jesus begins to tell us what to look for in identifying those prophets. And he says, "We will know them by their fruits." Now, a tree that is supposed to be a fruit tree but never produces any fruit is not a fruit tree. It may resemble a fruit tree. It may have a lot of similarities, and it, at a distance, may look like it's a particular tree. But when it gets right down to it, if there's no fruit there, then it's not a fruit tree after all. And there's also trees that that bear certain fruits that look attractive, they're appealing to the eye, but they're not edible. And in some cases, they're poisonous. So you've seen trees with the little red balls on them, like tiny cherries. You don't want to eat that. It'll make you sick, but it looks like it's a fruit tree. And so the point being in Jesus' analogy here is that false prophets or teachers can be deceptive in that there's going to be certain things that seem right, certain things about them that are appealing, but a closer scrutiny of them would reveal that they're not what they say they are, and it's not all right, based upon their lack of spiritual fruit or their counterfeit nature of what fruit that is produced by them. Okay, so we learn that we've got to look past experiences, we've got to look past a person's claims, look past their charisma, and take a hard look at their fruit, analyze the fruit. Now, more specifically, what are we looking for when we're wanting to make sure that a person is what they're supposed to be? The first thing is character. We have to consider a person's character. A person's true motives, their standards, their loyalties, their ambitions, those are the things that are on the inside. Those things will surface at some point. And many times I have counseled people, and they have told me, they're telling me of a situation in the workplace or maybe a situation in a relationship they're in or something. And they describe the situation like this: "Man, I saw a side of them that I had never seen before." Or he said or she said this, that, and the other, and they were just in a rage. It just caught me off guard. And I don't know what to do going forward. And the first thing that I would say is this: that's a red flag, because that didn't come out of nowhere. If a person comes with something like that and we're just kind of taken back by it, it ought to cause us to slow down and look with caution, because that came from the heart. It is flawed character or true character being revealed. Doesn't mean they're a horrible person, but they might not be quite as good as they're portraying themselves to be. And so we better proceed with caution. We may even need to get an exit strategy, and that's just in life. But more so when you start dealing with a man of God or a spiritual leader, maybe even a female spiritual leader, the fruit bearing begins in the heart. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. If we or that person truly belongs to Jesus, then there's a heart change that's taking place. It's not a perfect, not that the heart has become perfect. In fact, it's a process that takes time. But it is a process that is happening and should be evidenced by a person growing past their character flaws, a person adopting new attitudes, new behaviors, taking new actions that they used to didn't take. And honestly, it just boils down to this. They began to produce fruit. Good fruit, not flawed fruit, not counterfeit fruit, but good fruit should begin to be produced in us. Then, of course, you've heard me quote it, and every preacher quotes the nine fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. And you say them real fast, but each one of them are very important fruits that ought to be able to be found in a person's life. And so when it comes to identifying a true man of God or not, a genuine messenger of God will not just possess the outward appearance, which is really, honestly, quite secondary. They will possess the kind of heart that indicates that they're the real deal or not, or the kind of heart that indicates that they're not the real deal or not. They should be a lot like Jesus, and a patient, selfless, forgiving, loving, sacrificial, things like this, that those things should shine through. If he's a leader, if he's a man of God, he should be past being a novice. These are things that should be there. Okay, maybe not to the degree that we would like to see them, but they should be there to a certain extent, because they shining through that person's disposition is real, revealing their true heart. A pure heart cannot produce impure fruit. Or I say that a pure heart can't help but produce pure fruit. An impure heart, where am I at? Pure, impure? I got mixed up now. Let me start all over. Let me stick to my notes and I'll be better off, because I was thinking clearly then. A pure heart cannot help but produce pure fruit, not with perfection. On the other hand, an impure heart, it might produce some pure fruit, but if it is impure, it will also at times reveal itself through impure, corrupt fruit. It's usually going to surface in some way. And one of the areas, many areas, pride for one thing, generally a false teacher, a false prophet, a false leader will reveal his corrupt fruit through pride, egotistical behavior, selfishness, impatience with people. These are things that begin to reveal flawed character. And so we've got to look hard at character. Let's move on. What else are we going to consider when we're fruit inspecting, if you will? The second thing is their belief system. And that, of course, belief system is going to come out in their teaching. If they're preachers or teachers, they're going to teach. And they may be that their teachings contain a lot of the right stuff, but there suspiciously are things omitted, certain truths that aren't being taught or not supported by that person. And it may be that they have a lot of the key doctrines in line, key Bible truths are there, but then there's some that they're in error in, okay? And so false teachers most often will have an incomplete, distorted, or even perverted idea about some of the main doctrines of the Bible. And people tend to overlook these sort of things. Well, he's so right on all this, you know, it must be okay. No, if there's a major doctrine or if there's a foundational truth that's in error, it's cause for alarm. It's cause to look hard. Now, that's not to mean that every man of God is perfect in his teachings and won't make mistakes, because I quite frankly have made mistakes and misunderstood something about the Bible and brought it in a way that it wasn't entirely accurate, and I've tried to own that each time I've done that. Any pastor's not going to be flawless, but to overlook big mistakes that are never addressed, that would be foolish. Okay, false teachers often get a foothold in their flock or church or group or whatever over time because people are willing to overlook falsehoods. And the longer they overlook, then they become blind, and that teacher gets a foothold and then over time is able to lead many more people astray. And the truth of the matter is the true test of a person's teaching is the Bible. If it does not filter through the Bible, then it cannot be accepted. And that being the case, so many false teachers find success because there are hearers that don't know the Bible. There are so many under their teaching that are not familiar enough with the Bible to catch the error, or to smell a rat, if you will, or to see the red flags. They don't verify, they don't fact check, because they don't even know what the Bible says. And you know, the book of Acts in chapter 17 talks about the Bereans and said they were a noble people. Let me read it to you. He says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. And here he declares why they were more noble, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily whether those things were so. You see, they were eager to do their homework. They loved to hear what the Apostle Paul and Silas were saying to them. And as good as Apostle Paul and Silas were, and as charismatic and convincing as they were, they still went home and got their Bibles out and measured those teachings upside the Scripture. And the Bible called them noble because of that. If anything was to be declared by the apostles that was wrong, these guys were going to pick up on it. They wanted to make sure the teachings were accurate. And again, well-meaning preachers can make mistakes, but if those mistakes are addressed and they correct them, one thing. But if those mistakes or those falsehoods are addressed and they refuse to correct them, then you got a problem. Okay, so in fruit inspecting, we're looking at character, we're looking at teachers, and in the last of all, we look at the converts. Look at the fruit of their ministry, those that are converted through their ministry. Whether we like it or not, friends, there is an undeniable, not principle, but truth. Churches, to a great degree, over the long haul, take on the personality of their pastor. See, y'all are a bunch of rednecks, okay? After 22 years, y'all country is a hayrack, okay? No, but really, the truth is, under that leadership, a church tends to, and that's not a bad thing because most pastors are good people, okay? But I've been to camp for so many years and with dozens and dozens of churches, and I've seen it over and over again. And again, thankfully, because they're mostly good pastors, but you see that when the pastor is a very meek and kind person, the people tend, if there tends to be a bit of arrogance or these boisterous, egotistical type person, then that will tend to the people, even the young people, will tend to lean in that direction. And it's a fact, okay? Now, with false prophets in mind, a false prophet will ultimately be surrounded by people who identify with him and what he's teaching. And there's an endless number of people on this planet who are looking for something that's easy to believe, something that's easy to digest, something that's really palatable and can bring hope to their life, but not demand too many changes, you know. And so that, with that being the case, there's always going to be a man or a woman or a leader out there that will accommodate that person's pride, their ego, their desire to indulge, their selfishness, or their sensuality. There's men of God or teachers out there. I hesitate to say men of God. People that will teach a soft gospel, an easy believism that doesn't require any of those things to be addressed, but makes those people feel as though they're right with God and everything's good. And really and truly, that's how entire flocks are led astray, because so many times a false teacher or false prophet will present a glorious way of following God that doesn't demand anything of you. And so people walk away, well, I love God, he loves me, everything's okay. And the reality of it is, those people are the fruit of his ministry, okay? And so you inspect the fruit. You see where there's lots of converts coming out from under a particular ministry. There's no depth. It's all superficial. There's no life change. There's no holiness. There's no obedience. Then you have to question, what are they getting fed from Sunday to Sunday or Wednesday or Sunday, whatever. A man comes along with a health, wealth, and prosperity type gospel with no real doctrinal depth, then you're not going to have a shortage of people to follow him, because everybody wants somebody to tell them that, hey, you love God, you're going to be rich. If you come to church, you're going to everything's going to be great, but not make any demands with the Word of God. And especially when a man or a woman comes along with a lot of charm and charisma, easy to follow, easy to listen to. Everything's easy, and so they can gather a crowd. But I'm telling you, Christianity's not easy, folks. There's tough things to believe here in this Bible. There are things that are not easy to accept. They're best for us, but they're hard. Sanctification's not easy, but it's biblical. And holiness is not easy, but it's biblical. Obedience is biblical, but not easy. So rather than if you see a bunch of superficial, uncommitted converts, then you've probably got something going on. If it's not false teaching, it's incomplete teaching, which equals to false teaching, okay? And I will let us go with that, okay? Appreciate you guys. Next time we'll pick up and do something different. We get the fruit inspecting out of the way. So let's go ahead and stand. We will see you guys.